Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, love and be happy, what if I be blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers, rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours, I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song, when the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
And welcome to Charlton Live here on your Sunday evening. My name is Louis Mendes. Joining me in the studio here in SE7 as we get ready to look back at yesterday's win over at Reading. They failed to rise to the challenge of their rivals indeed. Is Mr. Tom Willing. How are you doing, Tom?
Yeah, having a right party here.
Yeah.
All good.
Yeah, I've got something to tell you guys in a minute. And joining the pair of us also is Mr. Benji Cloak. How are you doing, Ben?
Good evening, Louis.
You all right? Did you have a good day yesterday?
Yep, enjoyed... Yeah. The train journey back as well. It's good fun.
Excellent stuff. Right, I'm going to have to tell you all now, when I take down the Charlton Live theme, which you can hear, I can just about hear it through my headphones. There's a bloody dance class going on next door. They hire out Valley Central and there is a loud dance class going on next door. So I'm hoping you can't hear that, but if you can, I can only apologise. So on tonight's show, we will be looking back. We're having a carnival in here. And we'll be looking back at the win over Reading. We're going to hear the highlights of the game. We're also going to hear, of course, from Lee Bowen. We've got a special treat for you this evening because we're also going to hear from a player as well. Sam Field came to speak to us yesterday after the game. So we're going to hear from... the pair of them after yesterday's superb win at Reading that continues our unbeaten start to the season, sees the Addicts jump up to second place in the fledgling championship table. And that's where we're staying. I said it the other day, we're staying in that top two all season. I'm looking forward to promotion to the Premier League, which is coming up shortly. We want to know what you made of yesterday's performance. You can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live Forum to have your say on yesterday's performance. Let us know which players stood out for you. Let us know. You know, we're going into international break unbeaten now. How do you feel about that? How far do you really think this Charlton side can go? I mean, Lee Bowyer is certainly keeping his feet on the ground at the moment. But, you know, the longer this run goes on, the more certain, well, the more people will feel we've actually got a chance of doing something this season. So let us know. Email studio@charltonlive.co.uk, tweet us at Charlton Live, or head over to the Charlton Live Forum to have your say. I'm so distracted by the people dancing in the room next door. But anyway, Tom, 3 points. You're on the commentary team yesterday. Difficult first half, but that second half, we were pretty rampant once again.
Yeah, it was always going to be a tough start. You know, they're a good side, got a good home record, started to pick up some good results recently, and you know what Zhao and Puskás can do up front. So we were always expecting it to be a difficult game, and that first half it was. They had a couple of really good chances and arguably could have been in front, but we had our chances as well. Lecco and Taylor, probably the best of the first half, but then that second half we completely dominated them. We were a class above them. Could have won 4-5, maybe even 6-0. There were a lot of clear-cut chances as well. They weren't half chances. They were ones we should be putting away. And the longer it stayed 1-0, Greg and I were saying, you know, this could come back to bite us if Reading get an equaliser, because it wouldn't be deserved. But then we obviously picked up that second goal and secured the win. And as you just said in your intro there, going into the international break unbeaten, I couldn't have dreamt of a better start.
A lot of talk on Thursday's show about how Reading were a side that were on a good run of form, Ben. You know, we've seen, especially in that first half, they got some good players there. I think that Ajara in the midfield and John Swift as well, the former Chelsea chap. Yeah, they're a decent team, but there's been quite a few decent teams that we've played now and that we've put to the sword, because, you know, and we're always going to go back to it. Start of the season, we're relegation favourites. We're going to be relegation fodder. We weren't going to be able to compete in games, but we've been able to compete quite comfortably in every game so far and outclass a lot of our opponents as well.
Yeah, as Tom was saying, I think first half we kind of grew into the game quite slow at the start. I think, as you said, that Ajara in the middle looked really good. He kind of, because he was a real tall guy and great feet, he kind of bossed the game a bit and had a couple quick wingers on that Lucas Shaw, and we were thinking, oh, here we go, it's looking a bit dangerous here. Then they had about two corners in the first 5 minutes and we were like, oh, we're under pressure. But yeah, slowly grew into the game, and Taylor started, we kept playing the ball long to him, and he started to get the better of Morrison and Moore at the back. And yeah, they are a strong side. Morrison and Moore, they're two of the best centre-backs probably in the league. I know Birmingham were gutted to lose him. But yeah, I think we've got to this position now where, as Bowyer said, the players aren't fearful at all. They're thinking we're going to go in and win every game. And wow, people like Conor Gallagher, just in his first professional club, like appearing for us, it's just, he's not scared at all. He's running about. He's everywhere. And I think he's a key part to our play. Him and Cullen were brilliant yesterday. And yeah, obviously they mixed up with Field and Prattley, which I think worked well. Field can play the ball around a bit better than Prattley did. So yeah, we shouldn't be fearful at all. We've really becoming a force now in the division. And teams might have thought, oh, Charlton at home should beat them, but now teams are getting fearful of us.
Yeah, no team has beaten us yet. Right, let's have a listen to the highlights from yesterday's game. Your commentators over on Valley Pass were Tom Wallin and Greg Stubley.
Right-footed in-swinger again towards the near post. The Jow with a flick almost found the former addict, Michael Morrison, at the far post. In the end, it was just slightly away of him and out from the line. That's good control. So Taylor goes inside to Field in the centre circle. Out to the left to Perrington. Ball down the line towards Lecco. Lecco's onside. He's got a run on Moore. Approaching the penalty area. Lecco in the penalty area. Still with it. Lecco onto his right foot. Lecco thinking about a shot. Goes for it. Oh, to the keeper. Taylor with a shot. Oh, it's been deflected away. Comes to Cullen. Backwards to Field. He's going to strike it over the bar. Oh, what an opportunity for Charlton.
Yeah, first opportunity really of attacking threat.
John Swift to take the free kick again. This time further out with the cross this. Reading sending up some of the players from the back, swung in, it's a little flick and Field heads away, flicked back in by McIntyre, and Zhao with the overhead kick just over the bar. Spectacular effort from the former Sheffield Wednesday striker.
Yeah, best chance of the game for Reading, as you say.
brings it forward to the right to Swift. Swift looking for a potential cross, held up by Gallagher onto his left foot. Swift, oh, it's deflected off Cullen, went nicely to Richards, ball in the box, Puskas with a chance off the bar, and Lockyer clears, comes to Ajaria, edge of the box, Ajaria onto his right foot, reverse ball, finds Swift, oh, he can't get under control, and Solly comes across and clears, but Charlton with a huge layoff. How Puskas didn't score, I never know.
Solly in a lot of space over on the right if he wants to use him, but Cullen's ball is poor, and Ajaria is able to come away, and there might be a Reading break on here as he strides forward. He's got Zhao one side, Puskas the other, he slips the ball in, it's got through to Puskas.
Good save.
Brilliant save by Dylan Phillips, and then Johnny Williams heads it further away, and then Solly's gone to the floor, and it's going to be a Charlton free kick. Best chance of the game for Reading, and a fantastic save by Dylan Phillips.
Yeah, he should have scored.
The game back underway for the second half. So he stabs it into field. He's forced to get it away early to Lyle Taylor. It's actually a good ball. Lyle Taylor, then Gallagher now has it in space in the centre circle, and he plays a good ball forward to Lecco, who's able to turn. He might think about a shot, Jonathan Lecco. He's just gone a little bit wide. Gets it back onto his left foot, and he shoots.
Yes!
It's taken a deflection, and he's gone in, and Jonathan Lecco has put the Addicts 1-0 up. It was a great ball in from Conor Gallagher. Lecco had space on the edge of the box to turn. He pushed himself a little bit wide onto his right foot, then cut back into his left, fired a shot forwards. I think it came off Michael Morrison, but it was certainly a Reading player, and it's deflected past Raphael and into the back of the net.
Well, Charlton have started the second half brilliantly, and have kept the ball really, really well. They've looked more like the Charlton we've seen so far this season. A lovely ball into Lecco. I think it was Gallagher. I could be wrong about that. It was a lovely ball into Lecco, who turned. He got the space to bring it forward. And I thought initially he should have passed it to Gallagher, was on the edge of the box, went for goal off his left foot. He got lucky, it was a big deflection, took it past Raphael, the goalkeeper. But he probably deserves it, Lecco, for his early performances and how he's able to create chances for Charlton so far this season. And what a way to get your first Football League goal in general.
Williams is able to come away here, great being play. Pulled by Ajaria, but he's managed to keep the ball, and he gets out to Lecco on the far side. He's got a little bit of space up against Liam Moore. Lecco, once, twice, and then tries to fire it in at the near post. Just wide, I mean, perhaps a shot towards the back post would have been better with Charlton players that have been able to come away with. Anike out to the far side, and Ben Perrington, who swings the ball in towards Lyle Taylor with a flick. Just wide, but another good chance for Charlton.
Yeah, slightly behind him by Perrington. It was a decent looking ball in, and Taylor did well just to try and nudge that goalwards, to be fair. He couldn't really do much more.
Surely going to be too easy for Jason Pearson. It is, and his header finds Chucks Anike, who turns away from Pele, and Anike out to Lecco on the far side and asks for it back, but Lecco still got the ball, thinks about a shot, instead taps it inside to Conor Gallagher. And a brilliant save by Raphael in the Reading goal just prevents Charlton going 2-0 up.
Nico's made a real difference as he come on, to be fair, for Charlton. He's holding up the ball quite well.
Anike. Oh, and Reading are giving it away to Anike.
Lovely nutmeg onto Morrison. Lecco to his left. Lecco in the pounds here. Lecco onto his right foot. It's good defended by Moore. But Charlton wasting that opportunity. Anike with a lovely nutmeg on Morrison. And Lecco just a bit too long to shoot.
Towards Taylor.
It's a nice little flick. It comes away with Lecco. Lecco's got Gallagher to his left. He finds him. Gallagher, edge of the penalty area. In the penalty area. Gallagher still. Gallagher onto his right foot. Goes for goal. And another chance is wasted for Charlton.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he should have scored that time, but it was another great chance
to Taylor. That's a lovely ball. Taylor will up against Swift. Ball down the line to Anike. Anike shot off Moore.
It's clear.
Still with Anike. Lecco goes down. Yeah. That's a penalty to Charlton. Chucks Anike getting the better of Liam Moore. Trips him up, and Charlton have a glorious opportunity to make it 2.
Well, as soon as that ball got cleared from the free kick, they were on the break. Lecco managed to just give it to Cullen, and we needed Cullen to move the ball quickly. He did. He got it out to Lyle Taylor on the far side. Anike had just run inside of him, and Taylor played a lovely ball that split the defence. Anike held off his man. I have to say, I thought he got clipped already, stayed on his feet, and then got clipped by a second player, brought down, and it's going to be a Charlton penalty, and who else but Lyle Taylor.
To make it 2. Taylor has gone beyond the penalty area, as he does, he'll take this long run up.
The goalkeeper doesn't look like he's standing anywhere near the middle of his goal,
which is interesting. They've clearly watched this tactic from Taylor. Takes a while to take it. Liam Moore's right next to Lyle Taylor on the edge of the D. Referee blows. Taylor slowly walks, still now into the penalty area. Lyle Taylor up against the goalkeeper. Taylor steps up, strikes, yes! And scores. Calm as you like from Lyle Taylor, and Charlton have that second that they've been dying to get.
Second goal that Charlton deserved. And you'd have to say now, with just over 10 minutes remaining, if Charlton can hold on, what a fantastic victory this would be at a place that's difficult to come to.
Taylor with his fifth of the season already, 5 in 6 games for the Charlton striker, as Charlton fans are jubilant in the away stand. So it comes away with Puskas, what a chance, and harmlessly over the bar. And Charlton have won here. Reading at the Medeski Stadium. It finishes Reading 0, Charlton 2. An absolutely superb away performance from the Addicts this second half. They've been outstanding, absolutely outstanding.
I just hear Tom Wallin doing his best Andrew Cross impression at the end of that. If you at 15 seconds, scroll back 15 seconds to the end of those highlights, just hear Tom going, so 2-0 win. Lovely stuff. Good commentary from Tom and Greg there. This start is getting a bit ridiculous now, isn't it, Tom?
Yeah, it is. Well, we were all down pitch side, weren't we, waiting for Bowyer after the game. We were kind of just laughing about it, really, because, yeah, it is getting a bit silly. And we said in comms, I think maybe when we were summing up the game, that at what point in the season do we stop just thinking this is a bit of a lucky start? Because one or two games, you can maybe say that, but what have we played, six games now? Haven't lost a single one of them and have competed with all the teams. And yes, we haven't played a Leeds or a Swansea yet, but they're coming up. But the teams we have played, they're not bad sides. You know, when we came into this league, we were certainly not expecting a start like this. And the longer it goes on, the more confidence you get. And at the moment, I'm still at the stage where it's 3 points towards safety rather than anything else. But the longer this season goes on and the more we can continue to compete with these teams, at some point we're going to have to just say, do you know what, we're actually a very good side. And maybe that we can start looking up the table rather than down.
Yeah, Brian Haynes has just tweeted in saying that he's willing to bet the farm that he's the only person currently listening to Charlton Live in the Royal Albert Hall. Well, that's probably going to be the biggest stage. There's bound to be at least more one more person. If you're currently listening to us in the Royal Albert Hall, stand up and start waving so Brian can see you. The way the game panned out, obviously, we'll talk about in a bit, but let's talk about the goals themselves. Jonathan Lecco got the first one. Obviously, there was a bit of a deflection on it, but you know, we've been talking about him on the show over the last few weeks, Ben, and for me, he's an exciting player. And people said before he came here, he lacks a little bit of end product. Well, we've seen assists from him, and now we've seen a goal. So, I mean, that's only going to push him on, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I was listening. I think the club put up an Instagram video of like behind the goal yesterday when he shoots, and you can hear the crowd going shoot just before he shoots, and then he drags it back. But yeah, definitely, I think a really exciting player. Can't remember the last time we had a real fast winger, and defenders get scared of that. You run at him with pace, seems like got a few tricks up his sleeve too. And yeah, if he can add a few goals to his game, brilliant. Like, we've been crying out for a winger like that for ages. And yeah, he came through the middle for that goal yesterday, which was good to see. Like, he was mixing up positions. Him and Williams were both doing that. So yeah, real exciting player we've got.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, like, there's a bit of luck in terms of the finish there, Tom. But you got to be there to have the effort. And it shows, I think, that there is actually a little bit of confidence going through this team now. You probably say about Lecco, there was a couple of times after that inside the area, maybe he would have got his head up and passed rather than the shot that got blocked. But you're not going to moan about seeing players having shots, are you?
Not at all. And Bowyer says it after the game, that these players have forgotten how to lose. We said it, again, going back to after the game when we were sat around, that I've forgotten what it's like for a Charlton team to lose, because it has just been a long time. And that's not being cocky. It's just the way it is at the moment. And there's confidence flowing through those players. And I think the first half yesterday, the confidence maybe dropped a little bit, and I think we were a bit overawed by Swift in particular, and Ajario, who kind of ran the midfield in that first half for Reading. But then in that second half, we had maybe even said it in commentary at some point, that we got our swagger back and we took the game to them, and we started to pick up the ball and actually run at them rather than looking a little bit nervous, and it paid off. And yeah, since Lecco's come in, he's been a breath of fresh air. Every time he gets the ball, he's turning, he's running at the opposition, and he scares people. You know, you just don't know how to handle him. And the only thing that's been missing up until this point was a goal, and it was a bit lucky in the end. It got a deflection, but as you say, you've got to take the shot in the first place, and that's what he did. So yeah, I was absolutely buzzing for it.
And obviously, I think once we got that goal, you see Reading trying to come out, they were so open at the back, yeah. And the amount of times we exploited them, and we got that, you know, finally got that second goal, and it was only 10 minutes from time. We should have been free up by the time we got it, but Chucks and Ekane, we'll talk more about his personal performance when he came on later on, but he got the penalty. And considering how that ref had been a bit dodgy, it felt, throughout the course of the game, I mean, there was no way he was not going to give that penalty. It's one of the most clear cut you've ever seen, the challenge coming in from Moore.
Yeah, as Tom says in commentary, like, he had a little swipe at him first, like little nick, he kind of trips, kept going, and then another one just come in, and then the ref had to give it. I mean, I was standing right in front of it, and it's one of the most blatant penalties you see. But cheeky ball by Lyle, just in behind the defenders. He got a better of him, and yeah, it was. I mean, he come on for Williams, used his power really well, and Yeah.
And I think those now we're in the Championship, and obviously we're getting that little bit more in the limelight. We're getting a little bit more of attention than we were getting last season. It's still quite funny how surprised some people seem to be out there about Lyle Taylor's penalties. I mean, there was, for starters, there was a funny video that one of the Charlton fans who was in the home end filmed. And you can just hear a Reading fan next to him going, "Why is he doing that?" as he's walking up. But like the Sky Sports coverage, I think it's Michelle Owen, is it? She thought there'd been she turned around and going, "Oh, there's some sort of delay." And even Colin Murray on Quest saying, "Oh, that's the second time he's done it." Well, obviously we know that's like the must be the sixth or seventh time he's done it now. But it's still got that 100% record on it, Tom. There's no stopping that penalty. And the keeper, you saw him trying the mind games. He was almost hugging the post at one point in that run up, but. Whatever happens, Lyle Taylor has just given him the mind games. Yeah,
I was about to say that's the whole purpose of doing this for Lyle is to mess it with the keeper's head so he just doesn't know what he's going to do. And you see the keeper try a new tactic of standing way out to one side, then eventually goes back into the middle and then dives to that same side, and it just looks so stupid because Taylor then just rolls it into the other corner. And he's making keepers look silly week after week after week. He gave him the little calm down after as he scored as well, to wind him up a little bit, but it's working. And until it doesn't, then you've just got to give him credit, because I think I maybe said it in the comms, he had ice in his veins, and it's just so cool. And I know he's got a couple of goals from open play as well already this season, and it's just and yet another one to add. And you know, they all count. We got a lot of penalties last year, a lot of set piece goals, and we've started this season again with a couple, so it's a positive start.
Yeah, certainly was. I mean, let's look at that first half of the game, Ben. I mean, we did see that chance for Jonathan Lecco early on, and that probably was our only real clear cut opening in that first period. I think it felt like it was fairly even, but with Reading creating the better chances for me in that first period. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, I actually said today, I thought the game went really, like the first half, it seemed to go really quick. Obviously Phillips made a cracking save just before the half-time with his legs, a great save. And other than that, I didn't remember the first 10 minutes. I think they got a couple corners, and as I said, they looked dangerous. But we seemed to have a good shape about us. Everyone knew their job, and I think when we were under the cosh, Taylor did well playing long balls, holding it up well, bringing others in. And other than that, I don't remember.
Yeah, they had the chance to hit the crossbar as well from from Puskas. But overall, it was a strange one, Tom, for me. Like, I felt we were moving the ball okay at times, but we weren't perhaps cutting through them with the ease that we did in the second half, and perhaps with some of the luck and with some of the ease that they did have in that first period.
Yeah, that first half we were just a little bit too slow and showed them just a little bit too much respect. As I say, you look at how much Ajaria and Swift in particular on the ball, everything forward for Reading, all their creativity was coming through Swift. We were saying his name time and time and time again. And then the first 20 minutes of that second half, I said to Greg, I don't think we've mentioned Swift at all in this second half. And that was purely because we were starting to pressure them so much more, and we were just not giving them space in the middle. But in that first half, we were. I do think Reading were slightly the better side, and possibly will feel a bit annoyed that they didn't go in front. But as you say, we did have that chance with Lecco and Taylor, kind of double chance up the other end. But yeah, that swagger was just missing a little bit, and it's understandable. It's an away game. We're not going to be quite as dominant in possession as you are at home, but Bowyer obviously had a word with them at half time, said, look, there's nothing to fear here, you just need to press them a little bit higher, you need to move the ball a little bit quicker. And they did. They started to take one and two touches instead of three and four. They started to move the ball through the lines a lot faster, and it paid off because Gallagher was on the ball more, Johnny was on the ball more, Lyle was getting more support around him, whereas in the first half, every time he did hold it up, which he did well, there was no one really to help him out, and we just started to go through those gears a little bit faster.
It's amazing, isn't it, Ben, that once we do start playing the ball around a little bit quicker, how well we seem accustomed to that already. When, like, so don't forget, there are a lot of new players in this team as well who you'd think would take a little while to gel, but that doesn't seem to have been the case at all.
Yeah, I mean, Bowyer's integrated the team really well. As I said, Conor Gallagher's first professional debut, few games this year now, and he seems to just take in his stride. Him and Cullen seem to link really well with each other. And, of course, Johnny Williams, I thought he was brilliant yesterday again. He scares defenders, running at him with pace, head down. And as Tom said, took a while to get ourselves going, but once we did, we looked brilliant. And towards the end, there was some real nice one-touch football we were doing. A couple of back heels and everyone was doing a ole.
Once you get into that leading position, it's nice, isn't it, when you can play with that little bit of swagger as well. One potential controversial talking point towards the end of that first half was when Johnny Williams went down sort of off the ball. Like, the ball was being played towards the edge of the area. He was there standing inside the area. He went down. I couldn't really see what happened. At the time, out the corner of my eye, I thought, I think he's been thrown over there, because I hadn't seen it clearly. I sort of waited. But then at half time, the video was being shown, Tom. Did you get a chance to see that video? Because it sounds like it's pretty clear cut.
Yeah, Brett came and showed Greg and myself. And yeah, it was blatant. He was being backing in and then was just dragged down. It was a definite penalty. But we said it plenty of times, Greg more so than me. He was playing his best Terry impression and getting really frustrated with the referee. But he had a very strange game. Booked field early on for a challenge, and then there were two or three very similar challenges throughout the game.
Morrow did one, didn't he? Yeah.
And just didn't give cards. And it was just very inconsistent. So it was no surprise to me that he missed that as well. Same with the rugby tackle from Yadom Pierce, which was just bizarre.
Right in front of him.
But it was a strange old game in terms of the refereeing performance, I have to say. And I think, looking back at that incident, we were very unlucky not to get a penalty. But as you said earlier, he couldn't miss the second one. That was for sure.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, we've touched on those chances. So the one that hit the bar, Puskas might have felt he'd done better with. The one just before half time was where Cullen gave the ball away. I think it might have been a Jarre who picked it up and sort of played it into Puskas in space and went one on one. And he said, "There's Dylan Phillips." Now, when it's been a game where perhaps it's been reasonably quiet for a goalkeeper, I mean, he's made a really big save there on a stroke of half time. That goes in, that could be a really a different story, Ben.
Yeah, he hit a nail on the head. The keeper's got to stay active for 90 minutes and he come up trumps there. It was a great save. He come straight out, spread himself and come off his leg.
But what have you made of deals this season? Because obviously there's a really able backup in Ben Amos as well, waiting to take the play. So he can't really put a foot wrong, can he, Ben?
Yeah, as you said, I think Amos towards the end of his stint here before was brilliant. And everyone remembers that double save he did against Shrewsbury in his last game. And so he's got big competition. I think Phillips has done okay so far this season. I think the only thing you could criticise him on is his distribution. Now with this new rule where we're dropping back, obviously it's a new rule, we're getting used to it. Bowie is implementing playing from the back. He just needs to get used to that. But yesterday, I can't think of anything he done wrong. I thought he done well. And again, with the free kick they had late on, he did really well to tip that over the bar. But that's what we want. Keeper playing active. And the whole team gelling to become part of a setup.
Yeah, I mean, one of the players who came in yesterday, there was two changes, wasn't there, with Solly coming back for Deji. Luckily, Solly, of course, with his head injury, was okay to play. But the other one was Sam Field coming in for Prattley. Now, I mean, I like Prattley from what I've seen this season. I think he's fulfilling that role that we want him to. But Sam Field came in yesterday, and in that difficult first half, the amount of times he actually got a foot on the ball or a header to cut out a pass going forward probably helped us take a little bit of pressure off.
Yeah, it was a slow start for him, and we said maybe he was a little bit guilty of trying too hard, and I think that's natural for a player that comes in and is getting his chance, because that midfield, I can't believe I'm saying this, but we've got a competitive midfield there and a lot of players to pick from, and Sam Field is going to have to wait for his chance, unfortunately, because, as you say, Darren Prattley, when he's been in, has done a very good job so far this season. But Field put himself about and did the ugly side of the game in that first half, and then in the second half, up until he went off, he started to get his foot on the ball a little bit more and be able to do some more of the creative aspects as well. We'll obviously hear from him a bit later in the show, but he's very aware of the challenge that's in front of him in terms of getting into this team and cementing a place. But I think his relationship with Lecco is going to help, and he seems to have settled okay. It's just a case of getting minutes under the belt now. Obviously, he's got a couple of weeks to wait. Whether he'll start the next one, we'll have to wait and see. But there was certainly nothing there to worry me in terms of him being a player that we can use if we're going to rotate him and Prattley around.
Now, so we should really talk about Chuksunike more, because when he came on, he came on sort of in between the goals, didn't he, for Johnny Williams? I got so confused when Johnny Williams, because I forgot about that new rule where you have to leave the field of play at the nearest point. So in the end, he had to walk behind the goal, which obviously the Charlton fans enjoyed, but then he had to walk in front of that that Reading mob as well, but he seemed fine. But when Anike came on, you know, he's a player I really like the look of, and it's funny that we've only really seen him in fits and starts so far off the bench, but you know, he came on against Stoke and scored, came on at Barnsley and played really well. You talk about the Forest game, he wasn't his best, but then he came on yesterday, and it helps that the game was open and there was space for him to play in. But I thought he was brilliant when he came on yesterday.
Yeah, I thought he was really good, and he used his strength and his height really well, especially as they had that Ajaro in the middle, who was a big guy himself, and then Morrison and Moore at the back, so he gave them problems. And you want to bring on a player that, when the defence is tiring, to give them a bit of problem. And yeah, as you said, the Forest game, I think because of the Stoke game, he came on and done so well. Forest game, we didn't see the best of him, and yeah, and like, look, the competition for places is huge now, and especially in that centre midfield. Baram Kyles will come back now and be fresh from injury, and he'll be ready to get in the team. And so people coming on and taking their chances, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, crazy. We haven't even mentioned Baram Kyle at all yet. He'll be back after the international break. Hopefully he's been called up to the Israeli squad. So hopefully he'll get some minutes there and be ready to join in. Yeah, so we saw it out in the end with that penalty that Anike won, Taylor took. Fairly comfortable towards the end. Like, so we did miss a lot of chances in that second half, is the only criticism that you're going to take from that second period. I think, you know, Gallagher had a couple, and Lecco had one as well. And Taylor had a side foot that he put wide. So, I mean, you're not going to worry too much about that at this moment, because we've been very clinical this season.
I was about to say, yeah, we've had the lowest shots, haven't we, and I think across the whole league, and we're up there for goal scorers. So if that was the third or fourth game in a row where we'd done that, I would be concerned, because suddenly you're a team that has to have about eight chances to stand a chance of getting goals. But that's the first time I've seen us do that. Usually we have about two shots and score on both. So no, I'm not overly concerned at all. It's great that we're having all those chances as well, because it makes for exciting football. And I'm sure it was just a one-off, and next game, I'm sure when chances come, we'll make sure we take them.
And just the idea now, Ben, that we're going into the international break, it probably does come at the right time to get a couple of bodies fresh, because it has been a very frantic start to the season with a couple of midweek games in there as well. But you know, to go into that international break unbeaten, second in the Championship, we're going to be sat in that second place in that table now for 2 weeks. So any time you look on the BBC Sport website, you're going to see us in that top two for 2 weeks, and that's going to be the same for players as well. I mean, they're going to feel so confident when they come back from that break now.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, it's looking at the table and you just think, well, especially when you look at the bottom of the table and you've got two big teams like Stoke and Huddersfield with 1 point down the bottom, it's crazy when you see us right up there. Because going into that Blackburn game, I bet most of us kind of thought we'd be right down there. But the way this team's just quickly being assembled, really, just before that game, Gallagher come in, and then after that, it's been quickly assembled, but just gelled so well. And yeah, it's great to have the international break now, a couple of weeks off, take stock. And yeah, as you said, Boya's got with the players that aren't going away to get these players together now, maybe work on some other stuff. It's a shame Kyle and Hemed are going away with Israel, because we know these two aren't fully fit, and these probably are the two biggest signings we made, especially Kyle's come from such a write-up from Brighton fans, like done so well there. So, and we haven't seen anything of him yet. So it's great that we're playing so well, but we got Anike who hasn't really played that many minutes yet, so that's exciting. Kyle, we haven't seen anything yet. Hemed, I think, well, the short time he come on yesterday, I thought he'd done quite well. But again, we haven't seen these players, and yes, looks so promising.
Excellent stuff. Right, Brian says that no one waved when he started waving in the when he was in the Royal Albert Hall, so he might be the only one. Although I still don't believe he's the only one. I think they're just shy. Let's have a listen to what Lee Bowyer said. Don't forget, you can have your say as well. Email studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live Forum to have your say on this evening's show. We're going to hear from Sam Field later on in the evening as well. But now let's hear from Lee Bowyer. The Addicts boss said there was one word he'd used to describe his team's performance yesterday.
Fearless, I think. They're in that place at the moment, and they're in that zone where they just believe that they're going to win every game. And I'm making them believe that they can win every game. So, okay, we had a bit of luck first half. Maybe if they would have taken the chance that Deal saved at the end, obviously it would have been a different game. But overall, over the 90 minutes, I thought we thoroughly deserved the win. And it could have been 4 or 5. If it weren't for a couple of bad decisions from our lads in the final third, we could have scored 4 or 5 comfortably. But listen, we won 2-0, clean sheet. Again, the defensive side of the game, I think we was outstanding. From back to front, I thought we was excellent, and we deserved 3 points.
That second half in particular was very impressive. The amount of times your side seemed to cut through Reading at ease in that second period.
Yeah, but I said to them half time, like, taking too many touches. We were taking too many touches when we was passing it across the back. It was too slow. Like, we once we then picked the pace up and moved the ball quickly, like we're good at, then I don't think they could get near us, and we just carved through them. And like you said, we got into that in and around their box so many times second half, and should have made it count. You know, the game should have been put to bed with half hour to go in my eyes.
Must be such a psychological boost now to go into that international break that's coming up still unbeaten after 6 games.
Yeah, it's massive. I said to him before, like, you've got a chance of going second or maybe joint top, you know, like, don't let it pass you. Leave everything out there and go and win your individual battles and make the right decisions, and you keep doing that, we'll win. And then that's what's happened, and yeah, it's a good time now for everyone to recharge their batteries and get ready for Birmingham in a couple of weeks.
We've seen what the sort of exciting player that Jonathan Lecco can be throughout the course of the season, but he gets his first goal now as well, and hopefully he'll be able to push on from that.
Yeah, he's our wild card, as I've said many a time. Just never really know what you're going to get from him, but he's exciting and he can make things happen just out of nothing. So he deserved his goal. I said to him before the game, I fancied him to score today, and thankfully now he get confidence from that, and that'll only benefit us.
I guess the one slight downside looks like Sam Field came off with a bit of an injury. Do you know what happened there?
No, he'd be okay. He just twisted his ankle a little bit, so I'm sure he'd be fine. I thought he'd done well today. Second half, read the game, and broke a lot of things up and got us playing, you know. I think Connor, it's a good test for Connor playing against Swift. He's a good player, and then he gets forward and he was causing us problems, but Connor was done his defensive side of the game really well today. I thought it was good for him.
Obviously, we knew about Charlton's momentum coming into this game, but Reading themselves were on a bit of a high, and you know, we saw a Brentford side last week with a lot of quality as well. These are good sides now that Charlton have been beating over the last few weeks.
Yeah, they're all good teams in this division. They've all got players that can hurt you, but we also have that, and we have. Well, I keep saying it, we have something unique. You know, like, they're in the dressing room there, and it just don't faze them. They just honestly think that they've got a chance of winning every game. And I do. I believe in them, you know, and I push them all the time, every day. Like, all our staff, we push the players every day to be as good as whatever we can push them to. And today, they didn't disappoint, and they just keep going and going and going, and they got their reward again.
And so you have got those 2 weeks off now, I guess, a chance to sort of refresh and relax for a couple of days, and then hopefully you can pick up this same momentum on the other side.
Yeah, obviously we've just got to hope that no one comes back injured. The lads that are going away, I think we've got 8 or 10 that are away. So, yeah, fingers crossed nothing happens to them. And the most important thing is that we'll start preparing for Birmingham. Mine, nothing changes for me. I'll be watching Birmingham from probably tonight. And then we'll just make sure next week we'll have a 4 weeks training. And hopefully we'll get ready for Birmingham.
Second in the table is a bit too early to be getting carried away, but it's a nice place to be in.
Yeah, let's not forget, like, our aim is to stay in the league. So, yeah, we've had a good start. What, 6 games in? 6 games, is it? Yeah. 6 games in. It's nothing. So, 40 to go. But it's nice to be up there and get the points in the bag early. But we know what our achievement is. Our goal is to stay in the division, and if we do that, that'd be some achievement with the budget that we have. People laugh at us when we tell them what our budget is, and so what the lads are doing at the moment, and the fans are helping. They're playing a massive part as well. They didn't stop singing for 90 minutes. So loud, and helping the lads push through these games is, everyone's in a good place at the moment.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there. Pierce is there. Bowers the header. And it's Jones.
Yeah!
Oh, it's in. Oh, he's got. Oh, Patrick Barr. You absolute German beauty. Woo! Dreamland. Charlton have scored. With seconds remaining.
We've done it, too.
Get in. Come on.
What a time to be a hero.
Here at Wembley. Oh my word! Oh my word!
Charlton Live.
Welcome back to Charlton Live on your Sunday evening or via the podcast afterwards. Of course, that was Lee Bowyer speaking to me after yesterday's 2-0 win over at the Majeski Stadium at Reading. Keeping his feet firmly on the ground so far, Tom. I mean, I know we're all getting carried away because we're in the top two, and as I've mentioned, we are planning on staying there for the rest of the season. But, you know, jokes aside, we are still playing it game by game. We are still trying to make sure we get enough points to stay in the division.
Yeah, and we have to look at it like that. Claudio Ranieri was still saying 40 points when they'd won the league, I think, with Leicester. So he's doing this the right way. And are we really surprised? Absolutely not. He's going to take it game by game. We have to be respectful of every opposition we play because there are good sides in this league. As I mentioned earlier, October in particular is a tough month for us. I think we've got Leeds, we've got Swansea. I know we've got Millwall coming up as well. So these are games that are going to be some of the tougher ones we're going to have all season. So by the time we get to Christmas, we're going to have a realistic idea of where we should be. And if we're still up in that top 10 places by then, well, maybe we'll start to talk slightly differently at that point. But 6 games is far too early. Having said all that, as a fan, you've just got to enjoy it because that's what you're in football for. And to go 6 games unbeaten at the start of the Championship, you couldn't have dreamed of a better start, as I said earlier.
Yeah, the dance club have started back up again. I don't know if you can hear that in the background, but hopefully you can't. But they are dancing away in there in the press room. It's so strange to think that that's where Lee Bowyer gives his press conferences.
That's where he had that rant about Steve Evans.
There's currently like a carnival going on in the press room, but they're loving it. Now, I mean, first day show, Ben, and we had the chap on from a local Reading journalist. Now, and I will just say this now: can the person who emailed him not do that, please? Because we do need to have a little bit of goodwill with the people who come on the show from the other teams. And a lot of people tweeting in saying, "Oh, can we? Oh, let's get him on. Let's get him on." We're not going to get him on to be wound up. But you know, he was very positive about Reading's performances recently, saying they may even have a top six squad. Yeah, they've certainly got some good players, as we saw. But, you know, as Bowyer said, we need to get used to the fact that every team in the Championship will have quality players. Even the Stokes, who we've played, have got the likes of Tom Ince. And the teams that we've beaten are still good teams. And it's weird that we're trying to sort of recalibrate in our minds that we can be as good as these teams at this moment in time.
Yeah, it could work in our favour, really. Because, as you say, these teams have got big names in it. You've got teams that have come down from the Premiership and have still got these big names on big wages. So maybe there's more pressure on them than there is for us. And we've got up-and-coming players coming through, making a name for themselves, or a player like Johnny Williams, who is really well-respected. But, of course, his injuries have probably knocked him down a pecking order of where people think he should be. But, again, another class player. So, yeah, we're upsetting the odds. It's great to see. But, yeah, Reading went into the into the game in good form. So they beat Cardiff. I remember watching on Sky, drew with West Brom. So, and then I think they beat Huddersfield as well. So that gives fans confidence. Of course it does. But coming against us, they're on a high going into it. But we're on a high ourselves. And although it took us a while to get into the game, once we got going, we matched them and then we're better than them in the end. So
it's amazing how once we've got that little bit of swagger about us, how we can play. And we played really well in that second period. And we were ripping apart a team that, like I say, has got Michael Morrison at the back. And it's got, you know, a midfield that included John Swift and Ajari, players who are good players, but we outplayed them in that second period. Now let's have a look at some of the tweets that came in. Don't forget, you can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live forum to have your say on this evening's show. Toon Addict did that last night. What a call from Boya to bring on Anike. Williams was having a great game, breaking nicely with the ball, but somehow Boya sees that we need some strength up top. Anike changes the game and we win comfortably. What a team this is and what a manager we have. That's one of the best things about Lee Boya, is he knows how to tweak the system, because I say this every week, because he does it every week. Something's not quite right, he'll tweak it. He'll make a sub, he'll change the formation. Yesterday it was a sub that helped us get, you know, real control and that, and just getting the team to move the ball around a bit quicker.
Yeah, and we were on commentary, we were surprised when he brought Anike on, because it was a very attacking-minded change. He wasn't prepared to just see the game out. He wanted to go for that second and go for the jugular, and fair play to him, because you're right, especially when you compare him to his predecessor, who had a formation he preferred and stuck to it rigidly. Here's someone who's prepared to look at every opposition differently, decide what he wants to do. And as you say, if that's not working, it's fine. He'll change it up and do something else. And it's not only credit to him from a confidence point of view that he's got the bottle to do it, but also down to his work on the training ground, that his players are able to adapt to whatever formation he puts them through. So, yeah, massive credit to Boya. Again, just... We've praised him every single week, I think, and rightly so. But it was an inspired change, because Anike probably had his best performance in a Charlton shirt so far. I know it's only been a brief career, but he did, I don't want to say change the game, because we were already on top, but he just made sure that we cemented that dominance and get that second goal.
Chrissy T said, you love to see it. Can we please get that Reading journalist back on tomorrow night's show? His interview hasn't aged so well. We've got a lot of stuff like that tonight. Derek Harris says, one of the things I really like about Boya is his ability to read the game, to change it over, and overall tactical flexibility. It sets him apart from the rest. Daniel saying, the only thought so far tactically was making that sub against Forrest on the corner, which we then conceded from. But Jesus, he has proved to be an amazing tactician. Danny's asking if we can get that reporter back on. James is asking if we can get that Reading reporter back on. Paul Evans says, I was quaking that Pelly and Puskas had managed a full week's training before yesterday, and we did well to score against two of the three best defenders in the Championship. And a journalist who presumably has watched a lot of football should know better than to get carried away by a couple of good results at the start of the season. Isn't that right, Louis? I think he's talking about the Reading journalist as well. This is talking about me, because I'm getting carried away as well now, to be fair. Liam says, the away performance from team to the fans was unreal. Everyone was given 100%. You love to see it. Birmingham will bring a different challenge. They travel well. Can't wait for the Valley to be bouncing. That's Liam. Yeah, I mean, you were in that away end yesterday, Ben, and I mean, it sounded so loud. I think it does work quite nicely where Reading have got that little group of fans, singing fans they've got there. So they sort of bounced off each other quite nicely until Charlton really took control, and then the Reading fans just shut up and sat there quietly, really, didn't they?
Yeah, it makes the atmosphere so much better. And as that guy said there, Birmingham have sold out the away end with 2 weeks to go till the game's on. And it definitely makes the atmosphere a lot better at the Valley. But I can't remember our away support being as good as it is now. For years, everyone's singing, they're bouncing, even going down on the concourse at half time, which obviously you guys didn't see. Everyone's bouncing, chucking their beers around, singing Twist and Shout. It's brilliant, and we're still buzzing from last season.
It's amazing the way that everyone is just enjoying it, and, you know, not getting carried away, but just enjoying the moment, and it's brilliant. I mean, Liam mentioned Birmingham's away form. They've actually lost their last three on the road, all by 3-0, one of which was against Pompey in the League Cup, and then also against Forest and Swansea. And then they got that extremely lucky win against Brentford on the opening day of the season. So that will be an interesting, slightly different type of test, when it against a team that perhaps isn't as confident, but we'll look ahead to that properly as we come out of the other side of the international break. Right, the Wave says, I thought the turning point of the game was when Enike came on. Reading could not cope with him. He looked hungry, mega fast and focused. Taylor, Lecco and Enike attacking an away game in the second half. Wow, I was not expecting that. Yeah, very good indeed. Right, F. James, good job done yesterday. Now time to regroup. They go again stronger. I must draw attention to the attitude of Taylor. Yes, he's a good goal getter, but he's showing signs even more that his journey with us is closing in. The dilemma that arises is, does he stay and run the clock down on his contract or go in January? He would be better served to run the contract down and go to whoever wants to gamble on him. He could be a bad apple in the barrel if this is not resolved. I believe we have enough firepower to see us over the line. He says, one more thought. It seems that Taylor is more disgruntled because the sole attention is not on him. He's a player that needs to be the kingpin and attention on him. Just a thought. I love my club and no player is bigger than that. Thanks for listening. Now, Lyle Taylor yesterday held the ball up to, you know, despite being pretty isolated in that first half. In the second half, he was involved in winning the penalty. He scored the penalty. You saw him at full time throwing his shirt into the crowd and giving the crowd singing. He did the tunnel jump at an away ground. Am I getting carried away here? Was Lyle Taylor's attitude not been a problem at all this week?
I think... Given everything that's happened since the whole Brentford offers and everything, I think Lyle Taylor's attitude on the pitch has been absolutely impeccable. I think there's been some question marks off the pitch in terms of he's had a couple of kind of bumps with fans in various ways, and obviously came off social media last week. But on the pitch, which is where we need him and where he earns his money, he's been absolutely fantastic. You know, you could easily see that Brentford could have messed with his head. Bowyer referenced himself. Was it the Stoke game that came straight after? He played him, he scored. And then he hasn't put a foot wrong for me on the pitch. I do still think he'll probably go in January if he continues this form, just because I think it'll be an offer that Roland probably won't turn down. But you can't argue with the way that Taylor has performed on the pitch.
Yeah, any comment on that, Ben?
No, I totally agree with Tom. I haven't seen any change in him at all. And there was one bit yesterday when Lecco scored after he'd high-fived and cuddled everyone, walking back to the centre circle, and Taylor grabbed him and was like giving him some words of encouragement. So if it was all about him, why would he bother doing that? And done the tunnel jump, came over to the fans, gave his shirt to a young fan. Great to see. And it's going to be hard for him. We're away from home, a tough championship club who've had some good results against Michael Morrison and Liam Moore, two great centre-backs. And I thought he really put in a shift.
Yeah, he kept going. I have to admit, Ev, I don't agree with those tweets, but thank you for getting involved anyway. I do understand your questions about the contract, which I think Tom has touched upon there. Right, another Tom Bramley tweets in saying, Reading shaded the first half and Phillips did well to keep us level. In the second half, our midfield took over and dominated for the rest of the match. Even the appalling ref couldn't stop us. Gallagher was my man of the match. Dare I say he's an upgrade on Aribo? Well, that's a couple of comments we've had like that over the last couple of weeks, Ben. I mean, is it still too early? I mean, Gallagher's certainly younger. I mean, a lot of people are going to talk about Aribo because he's gone now, so it's easy to forget how good he was for us. But, you know, Gallagher's certainly got the potential to be that player for us, hasn't he?
I think I watched the Old Firm today when Aribo played there and he didn't seem to have a good game. So I think a few Charlton fans enjoyed that. But no, I mean, Aribo, I think, was a different player. Gallagher is just everywhere. And his long hair swishes back, front and back as he's running. He's just everywhere. And I think you can compare them because obviously same position. And Gallagher's given us some goals already. That's what Aribo didn't bring to us
until
the end of the season. I definitely get excited about Gallagher. I think he's best signing we've made in years, it seems like.
Yeah, comparatively between Gallagher and Aribo, it's still early doors. We're still talking about six games.
It's difficult. It's too early to tell, really. I think Gallagher offers us a lot and could easily go on to be just such an important player this year. But on the other hand, I think, look, Aribo was with us for, 2-3 years, and the way that he could win the ball back, the way those long legs could carry him forwards, he did get a few goals. Benji's right, it took a little while to get those goals out of him, but he did get them. Aribo's a class player, and I think it's very easy now that he's gone. The same way Carlin Grant left, and you're like, oh, well, now it doesn't matter. Well, Carlin Grant was still amazing for us, as was Joe Aribo, but I don't know, it's too early to tell, but the way Gallagher started, I'm obviously very, very pleased with.
Right, Ollie says that Reading should have taken their chances in the first half, but Sam Field controlled the game completely. I hope his injury isn't too bad. Yeah, we heard from Lee Bowyer there it isn't. Lecco had Reading on ropes throughout the second half. Chucks looked better as a central attacking midfielder when he came on. He used his strength to get through, which led to the penalty. He also says, we should also all enjoy being second because no one would have expected us to be second. Everyone enjoy the wave, because for me personally, I haven't been this excited about Charlton for years, although Ollie did say he thought that Lyle Taylor wasn't his self yesterday. Ross Ramsey is saying it can't be long before Lyle starts his run up from the halfway line for his penalties. The most assured penalty taker in England. 14 points in August, Premier League all but confirmed. Yeah, I'm on board the Premier League train, Ross, with you. Yeah, we're definitely going. Now, Will Bolan, what did I tell you at the start of the season? Keep the faith and believe in Bowie. I think Will's got that tattoo somewhere on his body so he can remember it, but it's true though, isn't it? Like, he's done an amazing job so far. Right, Tony out in Spain, great game plan from Bowyer. I think he wanted us to soak up pressure in the first half, go into the break at 0-0 and then come out and dominate the second half as we did. They weren't expecting it and we could have won by 3 or even 4. Also, Dylan Phillips was brilliant yesterday. Connor Burden says Gallagher and Field were class, atmosphere was phenomenal and we always looked in control, a conservative 10th or 12th finish place. I mean, you know, we are getting carried away because we're second. But, I mean, realistically now, how do you assess where we could finish this season?
Cool.
I can't see us being in a relegation battle. I really can't. No, I hope I'm not jumping a gun there.
Yeah, Bowyer said that a few weeks ago, didn't he? He kind of said, like, I can't see us being relegated now. Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? Because as Charlton fans, we're always, although we may be excited, we're always thinking of the worst. It's like even when we're 2-0 up, we're still thinking the other team are going to win 3-2. It's just our mentality sometimes. But it's just so exciting at the moment, not only because the team's playing well, but just we've got so many other players that bring us other options. I mean, we're talking about Boya with the ingenious sub of bringing on Aniki for Williams, but he could have easily brought on Otzuma, who got man of match down there against Nottingham Forest, and we haven't seen him since.
It's another one. Yeah, it's another one we have mentioned. I mean, Tom, top two? Top one?
Top one, I imagine.
We win so many points that actually get us in the Premier League relegation zone?
Yeah, I reckon so. I know we were joking about the fact that I think you said we were going to win every single game. Okay, we've dropped 4 points, but haven't dropped any since, have we? So if we finished 4 points off a perfect season, I'd take that, I think.
Yeah. Brilliant. Right, Flynn Diesel, Martin Flynn got involved. A good game of two halves. Reading the better in the first. Charlton much improved in the second. Fort Cullen was excellent second half yesterday, and we saw 3 crucial saves from Dylan Phillips. Lockyer and Pierce have been excellent together at the back, whilst Cullen and Gallagher are pulling the strings in the midfield. Been impressed by Lecco and his work rate, he says. Also, just to say, the following and support for Charlton at the moment is as good as I've known it in 25 years of following him. That was immense in the away end yesterday. Bill Greenall, superb. Bowyer and co working miracles once again. I think the bookies and other teams have underestimated us. Adele's looking forward to singing in your studio if we get to the playoffs, as Nathan has promised her. Good luck with that. She's more than welcome to come and sing in our studio, especially with the dance club next door. Would have loved that as well. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I'd love to have Adele in the studio singing along. Right, JB Wernstrom says, what will Taylor or the club do if he's offered a big money move to a championship side below us in January, assuming we're still in the top six? Now, I mean, that will raise some questions because, of course, wage-wise, we wouldn't match a club like that. But, I mean, if we're doing well, I mean, that might be a head-scratcher.
Yes, I guess it's hard. Well, if, as you said, if a big offer comes in for a player who's out of contract in the summer, then Roland's going to accept it. As much as we all jump up in the air and throw our hands up at Roland, it, on a business side, if he's not going to sign that contract, you take the money, don't you, in January?
But, well, at the same time, I guess, I don't know if the opportunity was there, but you say he didn't do that with Ariba or Bauer, although we don't really know what offers came in, or if people were just thinking, you know what, I'll get you for free in 6 months anyway. So
I guess it's hard, but it's up to Lyle if Lyle wants to go. If he thinks, well, if we're in the playoffs and a team, say, mid-table come in for him, then it's up to him to see what he wants to do. He might have belief now in Bowyer's team that thinks, you know what, this team's going places, and Yeah, I guess a lot of it is down to whim as well.
Yeah, well, London Innit Geezer says it's all going swimmingly well. Warning to any of the squad thinking of leaving, you'd be mad. Recent history shows that you leave the mighty Charlton and your career goes down the swanny. Right, Michael says, a brilliant start by the boys. Really proud. Reading had the better of it in the first half, but we've really come into it in the second and could have had a couple more with our chances. But let's be realistic. We've only played one team in the top half so far. Let's keep it up. Again, yeah, are we getting carried away with the teams we've played, maybe, Tom?
The reason they're in the bottom half is surely because we've beaten them, though. So
yeah,
there hasn't been enough games for that to matter, as far as I'm concerned. Look, I know...
And Reading were on great form.
Yeah, I know Stoke are where they are, but you look at Brentford and Forest and Reading in particular, I think those are teams that if we'd lost all three of those, we'd still be coming in here and going, well, do you know what, we've lost to a decent side, so... It's very early to tell in terms of who's going to be up at the top and down at the bottom come the end of the season, but I don't read enough into that at the moment. Like I say, we have got some tough games in terms of the likes of Leeds and Swansea coming up, so I know they are probably the ones that on paper are going to be the hardest fixtures we get this season, but no, I think it would be unfair on us to say, well, we've just played easy teams, because if we'd have lost every game so far this season, that probably was in line with expectations, and we haven't lost a single one, so...
Right, Cliff says, absolutely brilliant start. This team has a winning mentality and never gives up. Yes, we know it's early days and we have many more tough games to come, but you can't help getting excited with the way things have gone so far. Tony says he's actually listening live out in Spain today. So there we go. Royal Albert Hall in Spain. That's where people are listening this evening. Right, Richard Justin says, is Adam Matthews coming in? If so, on paper, it's an upgrade for Dixell. Yeah, we heard on Thursday's show, Lee Bay, you're talking about the potential of a former Sunderland right-back, Adam Matthews, coming in. I think he's only trained a couple of days, so it wasn't really much of an update to have yesterday that I knew of. So yeah, be interested to see how that happens over the next week or two during the international break. He'll probably have a good run of training there. Right, John Cooper says, it may still be early, but we remain unbeaten and we dare to dream. The team spirit within the squad is unbelievable, not to mention their never say die attitude. I just hope our incredible journey is not derailed come the end of January's transfer window. Come on, you Reds. Yeah, we'll see about that. Marion's listening in as well. I think she lives in Surrey, so that's three locations now. Right, Yorkshire Addict. Yorkshire as well. Another one. I want to see a flag down at the Valley with We've Done It Tell on it. Still get goosebumps wherever I hear that. Yeah, if you ask W, it does that on request, actually. Yeah, it's brilliant. Sebo, can we secure double promotion? Maybe yes, maybe no. But at the moment, I'm just enjoying the ride and the journey. Yeah, Sebo's got it right there. Yeah, Inner Space says, Gallagher reminds me of David Beckham a little bit. Probably the hair.
Yeah, the hair
helps that. But he is very good as well. And Matthias says, a 2-0 win against Reading, still coming to terms that we are a good team in the Championship. It feels weird, but brilliant. Like you say, at the moment, I'm enjoying this wonderful ride that Charlton on. Right, I'm going to have a quick break here. We've still got a few more messages to come via the email and, of course, via the Charlton Life Forum as well. And we're also going to hear from Sam Field later in the show. We're just going to have 30 seconds or so. We'll be back here on Charlton Live in just 30 seconds.
Bringing the ball forward, short, good challenge from Cullen, wins it back for Chong. Can it come to Williams? Williams dives in, gets the ball, Williams on his feet, on a run. Williams, ball inside to Gallagher, it's good! Gallagher, shooting chance! Gallagher, yeah! Goal!
Come on!
A whiff chance, first shot, goal! The Addicts take the lead, all down to the work and the determination of Johnny Williams. Inside to Conor Gallagher, whose first touch was great and the finish was excellent. And Chong have an unlikely lead.
Welcome back. This is Charlton Live on your Sunday evening. Or if you're listening via the podcast, don't forget to hit that subscribe button on your Acast app or your iTunes podcast app. That means our show will get downloaded to your phone automatically twice a week when it's not the international break, because actually we're not here next week. So if you do that now, you have to wait to see it work for a couple of weeks. But yeah, we're not going to be around next week. It's international break. But we'll be back for the big match preview ahead of the home game against Birmingham. That'll be on the Thursday before that game. So we look forward to being back then. Right, Phil. DMs us. Hi guys, the Boya roller coaster keeps rolling. Never mind about Taylor going before the end of the season. It's going to be hard to keep Lee at the club. Please, please try and get the overconfident Reading journalist back on the show. That's on Phil Collum again. I don't think Jonathan Lowe's even going to come on next time we play him now, because he's got some stick there. I have to read an email. There's been an email exchange between a fan and him as well. It's not too bad, but I would ask you to not email the journalists who come on our show, please. 100% Charlton, every game in this division will be hard. We just have just been playing unreal. All credit to Bayer and the team. Judge the table after 10 to 15 games and get us to 40 points and I'll be over the moon. In Boya, we trust, and I agree with the boys. Lyle gave his all on the pitch yesterday. Yeah, it'd be interesting how quickly we get to that. Was it 45, probably the best amount of points? In the people say 50 in the 45, championship, but 45 is probably fair. When we get to 45, and which is probably about 3 weeks at this rate, but when we get there, then we'll see where we are really, won't we? But let's look forward to that. Roger Trask, after a few negative comments towards Phillips, a massive mention for him yesterday, after yesterday's performance. He was in fine form. Well done, Dylan. Yeah, I mean, we're a very positive Dylan show, Tom, so it's quite easy for us to say that, isn't it?
Yeah, but I'd go back to what Benji said earlier. I think his distribution has come in for criticism, and rightly so, because it hasn't been great. But again, go back to what I said in commentary yesterday, he's in the team to make saves, and he made two saves yesterday that by far kept us in the game. One of them at, I think, 0-0, and the other when we were just 1-0 up, or possibly we got the second by then, but either way, and both very, very good saves as well. Yeah, that's what he's in the team to do. His distribution is improving as well, so you see him practicing that every pre-game. So yeah, I'm just a huge fan of him. And you know, Amos is a very, very good keeper, and he's breathing down his neck. So the pressure is on Dills to keep that number one shirt. But for me, so far, he fully deserves to stay there.
Right, Peter Beerling, he's the guilty party here on tonight's show. He said, "Evening, Lou. Following Thursday's show, I just had to write to Jonathan Lowe, the Reading journalist, after the game yesterday." So Peter said, "Not so cocky now then." And Jonathan, to his credit, said, "How beaten by the better side, hands down." There you go. So but Peter did add, "I thought your team's comments on Roland's show on Thursday were spot on. He has still a lot to answer for. Great show as always." That's from Peter. Thank you that. So yeah, no more emailing of the journalist, Peter, but at least he took it on the chin there. I mean, we talked about Roland on Thursday's show after some comments from Bose. But yeah, we had an email from Danny Hill, Charlton versus Reading. "Evening, lads. I hope you're all well." Yes, we are, because we're storming the championship on our way to the Premier League. Danny, thanks for asking. "Evening, lads. What a performance again from the boys. We truly have a never say die attitude. We're showing we are a championship side and capable of competing despite our shoestring budget. Charlton are here and here to stay well till the 2nd of May 2020, when we have 134 points and we're in the Premier League." I mean, that was the one thing when... And luckily, I've learned not to make sarcastic jokes to Bayer. Not that I would anyway during interviews. But when he kept saying, "You know, our aim is to stay in the division," I was so tempted to say, well, not if you get promoted, it's not. Have you failed then? But the fact that we are competing, Ben, is probably the most pleasing part of this season for me. Because we're not going to win every game, as we've seen. We're not going to go the season unbeaten. We are going to lose games at points. We are going to come up against injury, suspension, all of those things that can derail you for a little while. But we've shown that we're competing with players that are coming off the bench. We've got players who haven't played yet. We've never been outclassed in any game, and that's the most important part for me so far.
No, and as Sebo tweeted in, let's enjoy the ride. Let's not get angry when things aren't going our way, which obviously hasn't happened yet anyway with the fans. But after the Nottingham Forest game, I walked away, I think most of the fans did, we was all gutted that it was only a draw. And it seems mad to think that, but yeah, it's enjoy the ride. As you said, there's competition for places. There's exciting players that we haven't seen play yet due to injuries, and Otsuma only just coming in. But yeah, let's enjoy the ride. And look, yesterday, when we were put under the cosh for that first 20 minutes or so, Boyer easily could have gone, "Oh, do you know what, guys? These guys are a bit better than I thought they'd be. Let's drop back a bit." But he didn't. He went for it. He stuck with the formation. And once we started getting a ball, as Flynn Diesel tweeted in there, Josh Cullen played really well, and Gallagher in the middle, good passing around, kept the ball moving, and then we just grew into the game. So that was confidence, and it's great to see Boya just sticking with it rather than thinking, "Hang on, we've only just got promoted. let's drop back a bit, boys. But we didn't. We kept going, stuck to our guns, and done really well.
And I see that is sort of rubbing off on you, Tom, because when we were driving to the game, I mean, even on Thursday show, I think you got a prediction bang on, actually. I think you said 2-0.
I think that's a couple I've got right.
Yeah, but I mean, when we were driving to the game yesterday, I sort of reiterated, how are you feeling? It's like, we're going to win. I just feel like we're going to win.
Mm. Yeah, and it's mad, and it's... I suppose it is cockiness, but I'm not saying it out of any disrespect for the opposition. Like I said to you yesterday, we last lost to Oxford, and I wasn't at that game, so I don't remember the last time I was at a game where I saw Charlton lose.
You didn't go Fleetwood away either, so I haven't seen us lose a
meaningful game for a long time. Yeah, it probably was that. So yeah, it has been a long time, and like a lot of people have said so far, I'm just loving it and just enjoying it, because it's been a tough few years. Let's not mess around. Some of the protests and everything that's happened, and the relegation back down to League One, and you know, you go all the way back to Powell getting sacked. All of that. It's just been so awful that, to be honest, I'm just enjoying it. And sure, as you just said, we're probably going to lose some games at some point. But until that happens, I'm just absolutely loving it.
My brother's wife was trying to sort of say a stat, and it sounds like a really good stat about Ben Purrington, that we've only lost one game since Ben Purrington's been in the side. But I said, yeah, but you can say that for pretty much most of our players. We haven't lost many games, but Ben Purrington played in the game at Fleetwood that we lost. He was ill for the game at Oxford that we lost. So he's only lost once as a Charlton player in a league game, which is a stat that sounds incredible. It also sounds like Ben Purrington's like the most important player in the team, when he's a very solid player and he got in the team in a week this week. But
a couple of the new guys in the comms team had said they hadn't seen Charlton lose yet as well. Yeah. I don't know if they've only been here this season, but
it's crazy, isn't it? The way these runs going, but then you'll turn around and say, well, Chucks and EK's never lost a Charlton game. I imagine Johnny Williams probably, I can't remember if he played at Oxford, I don't know if he would have played, he probably almost pretty much never lost a Charlton game. So there's a lot of players in the team that haven't. It's a very good place to be. Right, Albert Rossi says, good evening, Lou, great show. Huddersfield could be in League One and Carlin Grant could be back where he started. The grass is not always greener on the other side. I think Carlin's pretty much scored all of their goals, isn't he? So I think he'll still be in demand. I don't think it's exactly his fault that Huddersfield are down there, but certainly a couple of those teams like Huddersfield, Stoke, teams that have been down from the Premier League in the last year or two. I mean, it shows that once you get that losing mentality, which is the complete opposite of what we have here at the Valley, it can be really hard to turn around. Right, Brian Cole emails in. Hi, fellas. Great day once again for the Addicts, and another 3 points in the bag for our boys. I really wanted to email in to sing the praises of our magnificent support at the Madstad. This is in no small part due to the youngsters that are now so well organised and literally in harmony with a vast array of chants and songs. Us old uns love to get involved, and once the words are worked out, we all make a right old racket. Big up to all these boys and girls, especially the drummer. Keep up their good work, and we could help get the team into dreamland. Any thoughts in the studio on the support from our boys? I mean, we've said already, I mean, Ben, you're in the thick of it as well, but it's so good at the moment, especially, like, you know, I talk about the away games that are nearer by, like Reading, or, you know, we saw Portsmouth last season where you pack out the away end. But even Blackburn, for example, is quite a long way, but there's still a healthy number up there, and they just don't stop going at the moment.
Yeah, and I think someone else tweeted in that it's the best support they've ever known in their whole years of going, and I totally agree with that. I mean, for years, you know me, I like to start singing at games and try and get everyone going. And sometimes it's really hard to do that because no one... Well, again, we didn't have any new songs going, or people just didn't want to join in, whereas now it's just constant. I can't think there's not like a minute in the game where we're not all getting behind them and stuff like that. And yeah, there's some new songs going about, so have to write down the words for all the old ones that they can sing along then.
Yeah, at least get them on Twitter or something. Right, Brian also had, he was loving the sounds from the dance class, by the way. I wonder if anyone else has ever thought of having dancing at the Valley before. I don't know, did we ever think about having cheerleaders? I don't know. But anyway, the dance class is gone now. Dance class is gone now, thankfully. They seem to be having a wonderful time. But thankfully they've gone. Right, we've still got a few messages to come to from the Charlton Life Forum, a few more discussion points to bring up. But I think we should hear now from Sam Field, the West Brom loanee. He was obviously delighted to see his mate get off get onto the score sheet yesterday in the form of Jonathan Lecco. But Sam Field obviously started ahead of Darren Prattley yesterday, came in, said that the team had to stick at it after what he felt was a challenging first half.
A bit of a struggle, to be honest. I think first half we had to ride our luck a bit and just almost get through. We knew we were coming at half-time, we were a bit frustrated with ourselves because a couple of chances we'd made, and it was only a couple of passes we had to make, and we were on to them, so we knew we could do it. And then obviously the gaffer just got us right off the second half, and I think it showed. We completely dominated the second half and probably should have won by more if we took our chances a bit better. But I mean, to win 2-0, you take that before the game any day, and we're on 14 points now, so you know, great end to this little block and come back up international and start again basically.
I was going to say, first half was fairly level, they maybe slightly shaded it, but there's a clear difference in the second half. So what did Boya say to you at half time?
Strange, was, I think he just told us, you know, good players, we're better than that, and it was almost, look, they've given us a run in there, you know, if we can sustain, you know, stay 0-0 in that, we can cause some problems if we get going, and I think we did straight away. He just started to link up better, started to connect through the third, and you know, I think that was a, you know, brilliant 45 minutes. So if we can build on that and keep doing that, I'm sure we'll be fine.
It must be delighted for your West Brom teammate as well as Charlton teammate, Jonathan Lecco, opening his account. See, his goal well, it's like deflection, but I'm sure he's delighted.
Yeah, goal's a goal. I'm really happy for him. I think he's done really well since he's come in, so obviously long may that continue, and obviously I've known him a long time as well, so it's extra special. Hopefully, like I say, he keeps doing it, and that's what he's in the team for. If he keeps doing that, I'm sure he'll play week in, week out.
You've had to stay patient to get into the side, and we've started really well, but you seem to have slotted in almost like you've been here since the start of pre-season. How have you personally found it?
Yeah, it's been a bit different. Obviously, being at West Brom for 14 years, and only knowing that way, it's a bit of a change. But I've, you know, these are a great group of lads, great club. I'm happy to be here, and I mean, I think it's an honour to come in and be patient. If they're winning, then they're doing everything right. You know, we've got to support each other. If I have to come on for 10 minutes like I did the game before, that's fine. I've got no issue. I just want to help the team. So hopefully, I can stay in and start showing what I can really do more and more now. So I'm just happy to be playing, to be honest.
You play in the Premier League, you've had a bit of Championship experience as well. What's this Cheltenham team compared to those you've been involved with, West Brom and even England setup?
Both very good teams in England as well. There's a great camaraderie here, to be honest. There's a feeling that we'll just run for each other, which is massive in this league. You're not going to dominate 46 games a season, so like the first half you have to soak it up sometimes, but if you can do what we did second half, honestly, I think we'll be higher up the table than lower down, for sure.
You took a little bit of a heavy knock to your ankle. You've got a bandage right now, but can you rest Charlton fans' mind and say it's not too bad?
Yeah, I'm fine. I think a sniper just shot me from the ground, to be honest. I'm all right. It's just one of them. I think they were getting ready anyway. I think I was doing quite a lot of doggies, so I think I'm still getting my fitness up and whatnot, so I'm absolutely fine. So hopefully, come next game, I'll be around here.
And just going on to team morale, I saw last night Johnny Williams on his Instagram story posted a video of some initiations. How did you rate your personal song?
They played it after we won as well, to be fair. To be honest, I'm not the best singer. I like to do my talking on the pitch. So, yeah, it's one of those things you have to do, to be honest. And, you know, it's just, even if it's a minute of just pure hell, you get it over and done with. And, you know, they're a great group. And, you know, I'd sing every week if we won like that. So.
And just last one for me. The away support today, again, fantastic. I mean, you've probably only seen the Cheltenham fans away support being absolutely fantastic, which it has been for the last couple of years. I mean, what have you made of their support so far?
Really, I heard them all the way through, and you know, even when they're defending and it's doggy, they appreciate, you know, and blocks and tackles and everything. So honestly, I think if we keep putting the work in and keep doing that, it seems like a recipe for success, to be honest.
So sitting second in the table at the moment, obviously it's still early days, but that's a bit of a morale boost being in those automatic promotion places.
Yeah, definitely. We don't want to get too ahead of our boots, but you know, to have 14 points, I think it is by this time, is, you know, it's a great step, and I think it's just got to give us confidence to go into games and go, actually, you know what, we're not just here because we're not promoting, we're here to actually challenge and push. And I think a place like this, at Reading are a good team, I think to win 2-0 is a real statement, really.
I think like the stated aims at the start of the season were still just to stay in this division, but getting so many points early, do you think that gives you the confidence that perhaps, you know, the aims could be upper mid-table or even better than that?
I think I personally take it game by game. I think the lads have probably surprised themselves a bit, but that's what this league's about. It is absolute mayhem. It can, one week you can be winning 3-0, next week you can be losing 3-0. It's just constant, you have to keep up with it. And I think the thing we've done really well is just sticking games. Sometimes like Brentford the week before, we just have to stick in it. So I'm sure we'll keep our heads on our, you know, on the floor.
But you were saying there's a bit of fearlessness amongst the squad at the moment. They feel like they can go out and win any team, because obviously for a lot of the team they've come up from lower leagues, so it could be a bit daunting coming to the Championship. But do you get a sense in the dressing room there's no one really that worried about playing teams like Reading or bigger teams in the Championship?
I think we just want to go and enjoy ourselves, going, you know, and pressure's off. I mean, the media might not think that much, but I think we just want to go and show what we're capable of, and that's what the manager wants as well. He knows we're good players, we train really well, we're running hard and training and whatnot. So I think it's just that, it's just going out and expressing ourselves, and I think we only showed about 67% of what we can do. So I think everyone enjoys it when they're playing well and getting on the ball and moving it. So I think it's just one of them, just keep our heads to the ground and keep working hard and keep seeing what we can do.
Obviously, finally, you're sort of battling for position with Darren Pratley, and he's an experienced player. Do you feel like there's a lot you can learn from him? Because apparently he's quite a good egg around the dressing room as well.
Yeah, he's great guy. He's a lovely guy. He's been really helpful since I've come in. You can learn off lots of people, and definitely for sure you don't hang around in this game for the length of time he does if you're not doing something right. So definitely I can learn a lot of him. And if we have to share it like that, it doesn't bother me at all. It helps both of us, to be honest.
And just are you pleased you got the international break now just to get your bandage off?
Yeah, a little bit. I just need to let it settle down, but it'll be fine. I'm sure we'll be back soon.
Charlton to get it back to 2-2 here. Lyle Taylor's already scored twice this season. Can he add a third from the penalty spot? The referee blows the whistle. It's a traditional slow run up from Lyle Taylor. A huge moment here at Oakwell. He gets up to the ball now. He hits it with his right foot and he scored! And Lyle Taylor gets his third goal of the season and bring the Addicts back onto level terms. It's Barnsley 2, Charlton 2-2-2-2-2-2-2.
Welcome back, it's Charlton Live here on your Sunday evening. Good evening to Alan Tyler, who I know is out listening out there in the ether as well. I hope you're having a good evening, Alan and Sue. Right, just heard from Sam Field there. Battling away with Darren Pratley for that position. Now, we sort of said, Tom, that I like Pratley. I like what he's been doing. I like his work this season. So, it's a tough one for Field because he's really going to have to fight for his place there.
Yeah, a year ago, I never thought I'd hear myself saying that, but I completely agree. Pratley is not undroppable, but he's put in good performances pretty much consistently since the playoffs. And he's a very, very experienced player as well, and can add a lot, not just on the pitch, but around the dressing room as well. So you'd imagine for someone like Field, who's only, 21? Someone like Pratley to kind of coach him through and show him the ropes, if you like, it is a great learning curve for him. But he is going to have to be patient with his game time, I think. And the one thing he can probably bank on is that Pratley might not fancy playing Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Wednesday every single week, so maybe there'll be some rotation there. But yeah, Pratley hasn't put a foot wrong really. But Sam Field offers us something slightly more, I think, going forward. He wins the ball back in the same way, but I think he's got a little bit more creativity when he then gets the ball and drives forward. So as we said throughout the show, it's just great to have those options.
Yeah, now it was mentioned there his Instagram, or this Instagram video of him doing his initiation song that Johnny Williams put up. I didn't know what song it was, but it sounds like that sort of thing. I mean, I'd hate to have to do that, but it does sound like that sort of thing is important for team bonding.
Yeah, as he said, you just got to go for it. If you like kind of shy back and go, oh, and not go for it, then everyone's just going to be like, oh, what? But then and both of them did just try and, even though they were both dreadful singers, they both gave it their all and went for it, which is great for the camaraderie of the team.
We'll get you to do your one after the show, Ben. Right, Rudders 22 on the Charlton Live Forum. A couple of messages coming on there. I've been a Charlton fan since 1986. I've seen so many lows as well as a lot of highs. This is definitely the best squad we've had before we got relegated last time around. We will have a better idea of how we're doing once we have played the teams that are expected to be up there, the likes of Leeds and Swansea, for example. For me, this is probably the best squad we've had since the Championship, in the Championship, since we got promoted under Curbs. Back then, we were one striker short of getting promoted, and then we signed Mendonca. I knew it was the final piece of the jigsaw that was completed. What makes this all the more remarkable is that half the team hadn't played with each other before transfer deadline day and have adapted so well and will only improve as the season goes on. If we can remain injury free and somehow keep all of the known players beyond January, I will revise my post-transfer prediction of mid-table, and top six would beckon. Before transfer deadline day, I was hoping fourth from bottom. Before then, head says mid-table, as it's a long old season, injuries and recalls, etc. Heart says top six. I'm enjoying this ride and I don't want to get off. Yeah, be interesting, isn't it, after January to reassess. And I say even after 10-15 games to reassess a bit more. I mean, people talk about 10 games. We play 6 games now. We're only 4 games off 10 games. If we only lose one in that four, I mean, that'll be fascinating to see how other teams start to attack games against us as well. Right, Mendonca and Asda's Good evening, Louis. Wow, what a lovely 3 points that was yesterday. Who would have thought that we'd pick up 14 points from the 6 games played in August and be unbeaten? We've only got 3 league games to play in September, but how many points do you and the lads think we will pick up this month? And by the way, that yesterday was the first time I'd heard it, but I love the new Jonathan Lecco song sung to an old ABBA tune. Took me back to the 1970s. Get those flares out. All right, so I mean, let's have a look at the month that's coming up. So obviously, we're starting off with Birmingham at home. And it is only 3 games. Then we're at Wigan. Then we are at home to Leeds. I mean, that is a promotion 6-pointer. But I mean, let's say we get 7 points from that month. Whew. Tom, what do you reckon?
I mean, I'd take 4 from that month, to be honest. Because I think in October we've got Swansea, Fulham, Derby, and West Brom. So we've got some tough games coming up, as I mentioned earlier. Once we get there, so yeah, I think we could beat Birmingham. I think possibly we could beat Wigan, but Leeds is going to be the tough one for sure. So. Yeah, anything from 4 to 6 points in that. And if we did get something out of Leeds as well, then, well. But yeah, I think I would happily take 4 points from September.
Yeah, I don't rate Derby, by the way. You listed them in there in your teams that would be a tough one, but I don't rate them. So which will definitely come back to bite me when we play.
Lose like 7-0.
Yeah, Ben, what would you reckon next month? I mean, it will help the fact that there is so few games in terms of getting the squad together. Obviously, the momentum that you have, you don't want to lose that. But I think that could probably work in our favour a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully we have a clean bill of health from the players that come back from the internationals, because I think Gallagher and Lecco have gone England under-19s, under-20s,
yeah,
I think,
yeah,
as well. So a couple key players there. Taylor's gone with Montserrat as well. So, but as you said, there's players in there that have only just come in. If we sign Adam Matthews as well. Deji's come back from injury, so Boyer will be able to work on the training ground for a few players as well as that. So, yeah, Birmingham, tough game, big away support they're bringing as well. But, yeah, if we could get 4, maybe 6-7 points out of that, that would be brilliant. Especially,
yeah, I mean, 6 points would be a good month. 4 points would probably be an okay month. Yeah, anything less than that, you'd be a bit disappointed, but 7 points. That's where the real money's at, Ben. Right, Rudders says, just to let you know that Sheffield United did very well in the first year after they went up, but then they fell away towards the end of the season. And also asks, have we beaten a Huddersfield's massive unbeaten run yet? Well, if we are choosing to ignore the playoffs, which we are, then maybe we'll be up there. Because I wonder, Huddersfield did actually go like 40-odd games unbeaten if you didn't count the playoffs, which at the time we all...
Yeah.
We're saying, oh, you've got to count the playoffs. But now we're saying you don't have to count the playoffs. But, no. I mean, that, if you remember under Paoli, it wasn't quite that we started very well, because we were down. I remember around Easter time still, we were a danger of going down. But we ended very strongly and finished just shy of the playoffs. But, you know, I think traditionally it's probably more likely to go the other way, Tom, whereby if you do come up, you start off well and would fade away, I guess. And that probably is what most of the football world seems to be expecting from us.
Yeah, certainly what's expected of us, but the momentum we're on, you know, it's not just been these 6 games, as we've spoken about a few times. It's going back way, way further back into last season as well. So, of course, we're going to fall away slightly in that I can't imagine we're going to win 66% of our games this season, which we have done this far. But there's nothing to say that we drop a few points here and there and get to Christmas still kind of 8th, 9th, 10th, something like that. That would still be an amazing achievement. We heard from Bowyer after the game. He's still, his key thing is making sure we stay up. And once you get to those points, then you reassess. And we have to stick by that. We have to enjoy the wins when they come. I think Charlton fans are realistic enough to know where we are as a club in terms of this division. It's our first season back. It's about settling in. And I think I might have said it on the first show of the season. If we could have 3 or 4 years at the Championship, just stabilising ourselves as a club after everything that's gone on, realistically, that wouldn't be a bad thing at all.
Yeah, right. Paul Glover says he's loving the new idents, which is a bit big-headed because he's the man who makes them. Right, Kiwi Valley says, we haven't played anyone higher than Nottingham Forest, who are in 10th. Have we had an easy start? So let's have a look at the 6 games we've played so far. So we played Stoke, who are rock bottom currently. We played Barnsley, who are 21st. We've played Blackburn, who are 17th. We've played Reading, who are 16th. We've played Brentford, who are 14th. And we've played Forest, who are 10th. So is that an easy start? Now, I will counter that before we get into this by saying if Reading or Blackburn had won one more game, they'd be up there 9th or 10th. You know, obviously Stoke are rubbish, but you know, we've played teams, and if Forest had won one more game, they'd be on the same points as Leeds. So it's not like we've played teams that were floundering at the bottom, other than the likes of Stoke and even Barnsley have already got 5 points. I mean, I did remember thinking when the fixtures came out saying that's not the worst start we could have had. So, but at the same time, you can only beat what's put in front of you. All I can say is we're going to play 23 Championship teams twice this season, and so far we've done very well.
Yeah, I'd say that's us Charlton fans again as well. Like, there's a lot of us going, oh, look at us, we're doing so well. And then everyone else goes, yeah, but we haven't played any of the big sides yet. So, and then take us down a level. So at the end of the day, we just got to enjoy it as we go. We're playing well-established Championship sides. Nottingham Forest, I think, have been in the Championship for years. And we played them. We played, again, Reading have been around Championship, Premiership, a few times over the recent years. Again, a well-established side. Who knows after six games where these sides are going to be? Who said Swansea and Leeds are going to be up the top? I mean, there's clubs that have spent a lot more money than them that should feel that they should be up there as well. So I think people are surprised that Swansea have done as well, because obviously they got a new manager and their manager left to Brighton, didn't he? So we just don't know. It's early doors. Let's enjoy the ride. There's a lot to be confident about. But of course, but we have played a couple of easier games than others, but let's not be fearful when we play against these sides.
Right, finally now, this is probably going to end the show because we've only got a couple of minutes left, but it's a lovely story from Gene on the forum. Hi, Louis, what a great away day that was. Our daughter, who was a junior red back in the late 80s, early 90s, and I used to travel to most away games at that time on the junior red's coach. Her eldest daughter now has a season ticket following the euphoria and the tears of joy at Wembley, and they both came with us yesterday together with her eldest son. What a joy to see how much she loved the game and the whole away day experience, this time with two of her friends. Three kids. After the fantastic second half performance, two thoughts struck me. Firstly, how proud the gaffer and his management team must be of their lads, and secondly, how the respected and much loved Michael Morrison must have wished he was wearing the red shirt yesterday. Bless his cotton socks. It was great to show him that we haven't forgotten him by the applause as the second half was due to start. Great times indeed at our football club on the pitch. Anyway, long may it last. Hope all concerned enjoy a well-deserved rest until the visit of Birmingham. That's from Gene. It's a lovely, it's great to see that the whole family was able to enjoy that away day. Certainly not a bad one to choose as well. I think anyone who was there yesterday will enjoy. Right, we are just pretty much coming to the end. We got much planned for the international break, Tom? Are you jetting off to Dubai or something?
No, nothing. Oh, waiting for football to come back.
Yeah, it's crap, isn't it, when there's no football? That's the worst bit. Ben, what are you doing?
I might catch a bit of non-league action. Yeah, it's always good to do that.
In fact, yeah, I've got Bromley playing on Wednesday at Dagenham, so I might get along to that. Bromley also undefeated as well so far this season. I appear to support the two greatest football teams in world football, which is great to see. But obviously, this most pleasing is the fact that Charlton are absolutely storming the championship so far. Right, we have run out of time here on this evening's Charlton Live. Thanks to all of you who've got involved and sent us your messages. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Don't forget, we won't be here next week because it's the international break. So we'll be back in a week on Thursday with the big match preview ahead of the game against Birmingham City here at the Valley. Thanks to Tom and Ben for coming in this evening.
Cheers, mate.
Thank you. I've been Louis Mendez. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Thanks for all your messages, as I mentioned. We look forward to speaking to you again on Thursday week.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts?
Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.